What is going on? Welcome to the Hugan Harry Show. My name is Corey Hugenberg alongside Justin Harris.
What's going on, gentlemen and ladies, gentlemen? Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday.
Today we'll be discussing Week 8, the defeat of the Arizona Cardinals. The underdogs are taking over, and we have a guest today. So let's get right into it. So, Justin, we're going to start off with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Arizona against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Thursday Night Football, the Packers came to play to defeat the undefeated Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you noticed, but the Packers' first drive, they only targeted Aaron Jones, so that wasn't really a shock with no receivers at all. All the young
only
guy who got the ball drive. And all the young guys who were playing wide receiver had no clue what was actually happening and caused a couple of slave games, actually.
Wow.
But the Packers' defense was hot and kept the Arizona offense off the field. I don't know if you noticed much in the game, but I felt like I barely saw Kyler Murray on the field. The Packers had the ball for 37 and a half minutes compared to the Cardinals' 22 and a half minutes.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, so you have any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, Kyler, he had an interception or two in that game. I think they got a lot of weapons. I mean, they got D-Hop, who's like a deep threat. Yeah, AJ Green, who turned up for him last week. Defense is good too, you know.
I will say AJ Green kind of like maybe screwed him over, maybe not, but he got a pass to him in the end zone at the end. But I'm pretty sure he thought the ball wasn't coming to him, which resulted in an interception with 12 seconds left and caused the Packers to win the game.
Oh, wow.
That would have been a game changer right there.
That would have been. There's been a lot of late game, little brouhaha, you know what I mean, around the league this week, if you catch my drift.
Yeah. So the next game we got was the Carolina Panthers at Atlanta with Matt Ryan against the Falcons. Only really big thing I have to discuss here, since no one really cares about either of these teams, was Matt Ryan took Halloween a little too seriously. His hand got stepped on, and his hand was bleeding everywhere.
Man,
but it's okay because it was his left hand. It didn't affect his throwing.
All
right, but anyways, next game, big game here. Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans at Indianapolis against Carson Wentz and the Colts, 34-31. The Colts were up 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, but somehow the Titans pulled off a victory in overtime. Derrick Henry got hurt actually in the first quarter of this with about 7 minutes left. And then he came off the field around the end of the quarter, or came off the field until the end of the first quarter, but he played the rest of the game. And it turns out that he had something broken his foot, which could be season ending, possibly.
Yeah.
But then I saw on Twitter today from Diana Russini of ESPN that Derrick Henry had surgery this morning. And the time of this recording is Tuesday, and it went well, but now he is in a slow recovery.
He's in a slow recovery?
That's what it said.
So does that mean he can come back this season, or is that like...
I mean, he played the whole game with a broken foot.
He's fucking hardcore. I think he can eat that.
I'm surprised the Titans came back after a 14-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, well, I mean... I think they're pretty good offensively. They have, like, with Derrick Henry, I don't know. I mean, he's so much of their offense, though. Him and A.J. Brown, that's it. And Julio. But other than that, like, and Julio's out. So with Julio being gone, it's really just A.J. Brown. And Derrick's going to be out for a little bit. So I don't know who the fuck. And Ryan Tannehill's not too great. He's a little shaky, but, you know, he's watered down Josh Allen. No, that's a cop. No, that's Daniel Jones. But I don't know. He's in that realm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And the Colts, though, on the other hand, they surprised me. I thought they were a lot of shit. On paper, they don't really have, like, any stars, you know? But, like, they just have, like, good players everywhere. Like, Michael Pittman, he's really a pretty solid receiver. Carson Wentz, you know, he's decent. He's kind of shitty, actually. He had three picks.
I mean, they do have Jonathan Taylor also.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Imagine if they had it was Marlon Mack. No, he's on the Colts, right? He's the one that wants that to be traded. traded out, right?
Sure, I don't know. That's all you.
That might be fake news, folks. I don't know. I don't know.
On to the next game, another game that wasn't really much of a shock at the end of the game, but halftime there was a shock. Dolphins at Buffalo Bills, 11-26 Bills. I checked the score at halftime. I didn't really watch this game, but I was pretty shocked. It was 3-3 at half. But besides the first half, the Bills are amazing and the Dolphins are trash. That's all I got.
Yeah, the Dolphins are pretty damn bad. The Bills kind of just whooped their ass, you know, pretty run-of-the-mill W.
Onto a game that I really don't want to talk about, but I kind of have to, I guess. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, yes, against Mike fucking White and the Jets. 34-31.
Next Brady.
So I guess this was the start of this little trend with the backup quarterbacks taking over. I saw that the backup quarterbacks were dressed as starters for Halloween. So I guess that's a pretty accurate statement for this week. But is Mike White the next Tom Brady?
I think so. I think he's I think he's a demon. I described him as earlier. He was whizzing some passes, man. He had that one to the corner out to what's his name? Fucking Carter some I don't know. But,
but it was crazy. Anyway, this was his first NFL start. He was drafted 2018 in the fifth round to the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
In this game, he threw 405 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but the interceptions were tipped by the Bengals D-line and then caught by, like, linebackers or the cornerbacks. So I guess those weren't completely his fault, but it was still his fault because he threw it close enough where they could hit it. And there was a big controversial, call at the end when the Bengals stopped the Jets on fourth down and forced them to punt. The call was helmet-to-helmet on Mike Hilton, but he was basically on his knees when he tackled him. Pretty sure Ty Johnson, who caught the ball, should have been, you know, the one getting the penalty for helmet-to-helmet. But, yeah, I even asked my friend Jake, who's a Jets fan. He said it was bullshit. Dave Portnoy of Barstool said it was bullshit. Basically, it was bullshit. I'm hoping this takes as a reality check for the team and that they're actually going to bounce back next week against the Browns. Here's a tweet that I thought would be good to mention from at Bengals Genius. In 1981, the 5-2 Cincinnati Bengals played the 1-6 New Orleans Saints. The Saints won. In 1988, the 2-4 Patriots played the 6-0 Bengals. The Patriots won. Both years, the Bengals ended up in a Super Bowl. Stay calm. Both those years, the Bengals ended up in a Super Bowl. Both those Super Bowls were against the 49ers. Both those were a lost Super Bowl. I'll stay calm, but because we don't have to play, most likely we're not going to play the 49ers. But anyways, Mike White is starting on Thursday against the Colts now.
Man, I'm going to tune in for that. I might pick that spread because I mean he's a dog. He had what 400 fucking yards on y'all. I mean Jesus, 400. That is ridiculous.
But this next one, I'm going to let you take away. Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers against Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Big Ben.
I'll let you take that one.
It was a rough little showing. You know, offensively, defensively, was actually pretty beautiful. As you can see, every 110. I think, let's see. I think Najee had the tutty. Not sure there. But it was a really physical matchup. Both defenses showed that they're, really present. You know what I mean? There's a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, a lot of sacks. I think Ben fumbled, but we also got a fumble from Baker, and I think T.J. Watt had the recovery. And it was just there was a lot of plays like that because T.J. he'll get you like a good sack a game minimum, you know what I mean? He's really just that special of a player right now, you know? So defensively, it was great, like I said, but offensively, we're rough, man. Ben is, he's old, he's showing it, he's really showing it. And, you know, we had a couple good plays and Najee had what, 96 yards. He's, I think, leading the league in for rookies and yards per game. He's getting like 50 something, 50. I mean, he's really just turning up for us, you know. And I think he can be like a 80 yarder soon, maybe 100, a couple years, you know what I mean? Pushing
it. But anyways, that game really helped the Bengals in the division if we're really looking at it since the Browns lost.
It did, but I think the Bengals are gonna go downhill from here.
I watch them out. Nope, that's it. We're not talking about the Bengals or the Steelers anymore. We're gonna move on to the Philadelphia Eagles against the Detroit Lions. We have our special guest today, Henry Basilica. Welcome to the show, Henry.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So, what are your thoughts on the Eagles' victory against the Lions?
The Eagles' victory against the Lions was much needed. And it was much needed considering the game they just came off of. They just came off the Raiders, heavy loss, embarrassing loss. But they needed this victory against the Detroit Lions. A victory that I can honestly say I didn't see till the end because it got so bad they changed it. The local networks here changed it. They put on the Bears, San Francisco Giants. That's how bad the Eagles killed the Detroit Lions.
So what are some of the highlights you take away from that game?
Definitely running the ball. There's been a lot of complaints in Philadelphia about not running the ball much, and they started executing on that. We started to see Philadelphia Eagles playing true Philadelphia Eagle football on both ends of the football, defense and offense.
Gotcha. And then what do you think they need to do to keep the momentum throughout the remainder of the season?
They just got to keep listening to their head coach. They got to keep on building on the momentum. They got to keep thinking positive. They got to keep thinking positive and listening to those senior players, those senior veteran players like Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson. They got to start building and moving forward, I feel. That will help in the long run.
And then what is one thing you would change from what they're doing now?
One thing I would change from what they're doing right now is fire Howie Roseman. To be honest, Howie Roseman's not helping the locker room culture.
Gotcha. What is he doing to the culture?
In the culture, he's just making terrible decisions here and there, like, as a general manager, according today, he wants to get rid of Fletcher Cox. Like, he says, let's get rid of him so we can get better draft picks and stuff. Like, he's all about throwing around draft picks and stuff. When it's like, fans love Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox helps with the locker room environment. You know, he has that experience. And then he's like, you know, no, we're going to get rid of him, whatever. Howie Roseman is just not that great of a GM. He's gotten us decent picks, but he's making terrible choices here and there.
Gotcha. Justin, you got any more questions?
Yeah. What's the game plan for the game against the Chargers next Sunday?
Game plan against the Chargers is show up prepared and work hard, I feel like, and continue on what we have done in Detroit. I think the Eagles are slowly catching fire. And the funny thing is, if you look at the standings overall, they still have a shot at winning the division, funny enough. I mean, or making the wild card. Like, you look at it, Dallas does have a decent record, but division-wise, anybody can win it right now when you look at just the division record.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Henry. It's been nice having you. Thank you for your input. And
appreciate it, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll have you back on sometime.
All right. Thank you.
All right, so Justin, next game, on to the Rams against the Texans. We really don't have to discuss this one at all, in my opinion. The Rams are good. The Texans are bad. 38-22.
Yep.
All right, that's all you got to say. Next game, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers against the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields, 33-22. Like I said last week, Fields does not seem reliable at all. But I will say Garoppolo and Debo Samuel had an insane game. Debo had 6 catches for 171 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, but overall, I'm not really surprised by the outcome. I don't know about you, but
yeah. Well, I thought Debo showed that he can be like probably a bit of a star in the future if he can just like. If he can make those plays against better teams, you know, like, you know, it's hard to tell because the Bears do they don't have a very solid defense, but he made a lot of plays on his own, like getting yards after the catch. And he was just showing he's really he's speedy and he's strong. He's got, you know, shown to be a pretty good player in the future. With Fields, yeah, I thought he's young. He did shit that, you know, young people do. Not very good weapons around him either. There's a pretty it's hard. It's hard. You know, he'll learn. He'll be better.
Yeah, hopefully. Don't want to bring Andy Dalton back in. But next game, we got Patriots at the Chargers. The Patriots beat the Chargers on the road, 27-24. Mac Jones just took advantage of the Chargers defense and got the win. But Justin Herbert hasn't been looking his best lately. He only threw for 143 yards that game, but the defense is trying to make up for it, but it's honestly not enough.
Yeah, a lot of that was made up for, I thought, in the run with Austin Eckler. I mean, yeah. Did you see that one play that he had when he was he pushed eight people? It was a shit ton of people. He's just like fucking, oh, it was crazy, man. He's super duper strong. What do they call him? Pound for pound, I think. He's really just super strong, runs the ball hard. He's like old fashioned, like fucking Adrian Peterson. Hey, see Adrian Peterson. Speaking of him.
Oh, Adrian Peterson signed to the Titans.
Yeah, that was oh man. Did we already cover the Titans? I don't know. Shout out that game. That was really interesting in the future.
Next game we got is Jaguars at the Seahawks. 31-7 Seahawks with Geno Smith as quarterback. My brother really got his ego boosted when the Seahawks won this game. I really thought the Jaguars were going to win though after their win in London, but I guess I'm wrong. This is another one of the backup quarterbacks who were going off this week. But I honestly really feel like they just got lucky that they're playing against the Jaguars. I really think they're going to need Russell back before anything happens, which he should be back week 10 after their bye week.
Week 10? That's pretty fast. You know? What is now, week 8?
We just finished week 8. Week 9 is what we're talking about next.
That's a fast recovery. It was a good showing from Geno. I agree. I think they're going to struggle for probably the rest of their schedule. I'm not sure who the next opponent is, but regardless, I think every game is going to be a tough game because their offense is just tremendously worse. DK's got to do a lot, and he's doing well this season, but I mean, you know, they got to get other players involved too. So they've been talking about firing Pete Carroll. I saw it on ESPN. I don't know if that's the best, because like everybody loves Pete Carroll. He's like one of those like respected type coaches. Yeah. Would you want to, like, that would be a bad look, I think. But I would have, what about, you know, what about, I'm not a Hawks fan, but there could be some adjustments made, maybe some trades. Trade deadlines coming up, that could be something they might want to look into. And I think they could, I think they could improve through that potentially.
But another upset victory right here. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers lose on the road to the Saints.
Crazy.
36-27. To start off, is it Jameis Winston? He got hurt in this game, and the Saints had to bring in their backup, Trevor Siemian, who was a 7th-round draft pick in 2015 by the Denver Broncos. He threw for 159 yards and 1 touchdown. The Saints defense was also doing some little tricky plays by not really showing their defense off until the play actually started, making Tom Brady throw 2 interceptions. And one was a 40-yard touchdown return by the safety, PJ Williams.
Their D-line was really putting a lot of pressure on the Patriots, the Buccaneers. I think that, in addition to that sort of swarming that the defense was up to, what was enough to get Brady like kind of shook for that. I think the first time really this season. It's almost like teams like Brady, they say he gets not preferential treatment. Well, all the, you know, Chris Collinsworth, and that's his name, they'll say that these quarterbacks get this treatment from the refs. And if that's true, then Brady would be, you know, one of the main candidates for that. You know, Saints came in, they just disrespected him, really. They just came and got in his face. did all this crazy ass shit, just did shit instead of, you know, playing point A, point B football. So it was really impressive to see him switch it up. The offense is, I think it's going to struggle because Jameis is actually doing pretty well. I don't think, what's his Trevor name?
Simeon.
Yeah, I think that might be like a Taylor Heinicke type situation over there.
Speaking of Taylor Heinicke, next game we got is Washington at Denver. Not really much excitement here, and I don't think anybody really knew who was going to win. The Broncos blocked 2 field goals in this game.
Wow.
The Broncos took it 17-10.
I bet on the fucking football team.
Yep. I did too. Don't worry.
Oh, well, I thought they had her, and they're really bad. Like, they're just it just looks like it doesn't look like professional. Oh, I sound like such a douchebag saying that, but it just doesn't look as like when you watch the other games, they just look better and faster. It's so much slower. It's just ugly to watch, you know. But they're all young. They'll get better from the ass kickings that they get from these other teams, you know. So it's, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know.
Yep. And then the next game we got is another one of the backup quarterbacks, Cooper Rush, and the Dallas Cowboys at Minnesota against Kirk Cousins and the Vikings on first Sunday Night Football. Cowboys win 20-16. Originally, we thought Dak was going to play.
Yeah. I remember him being questionable, right?
Yeah, he was questionable up to game time, I'm pretty sure. At least I saw in like my fantasy league.
Yeah. Normally, that's they'll just go ahead and play if they say that, you know.
Yeah, but Cooper Rush was signed as an undrafted free agent in 2017 by the Cowboys, and this was actually his first career start. He threw for 325 yards, 2 touchdowns, and interceptions. But the Cowboys surprisingly came out on top. Turns out they don't need Dak Prescott. Their entire team's good.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of big names everywhere, really. C.D. Lamb.
Ezekiel Elliott.
It's crazy to me, his transformation body-wise, that he's still making these crazy plays and getting all these yards every game. He's really just he's hard to tackle. He's really strong. You know, he's really a really interesting athlete. You know, I love watching him.
Yeah, and then the last game we got talking about this week was, honestly, in my opinion, a really good game. Well, at least it was at the beginning. Then I started getting pissed off. The Giants at Chiefs. Chiefs won 20-17 Monday Night Football. At the start of the game, I thought the Chiefs were playing terribly. Patrick Mahomes threw an interception in the end zone. I put a couple dollars on the game after that because the Giants' money line was like plus 400. So I put $3, and I'm pretty sure I would have won like 15 if I got it right or something like that.
Oof.
But first drive, each team had a back-to-back interception. Giants had the ball last, had a chance to win the game. Daniel Jones got sacked, and then the last play of the drive, I'm pretty sure he fumbled the ball, if I remember correctly. The Chiefs barely held the win after they got that fumble, but even though they won now, I still think the Chiefs are overrated. Patrick Mahomes is not as good as people say he is.
Yeah, I agree. He's starting to look like a fucking sideshow, like a gag, you know. He's just out there doing this crazy ass shit, and like sometimes it looks cool, but other times it really just looks like some high school weird trick play. It's just a strange looking offense, you know.
They had Travis Kelce in the Wildcat one time and just pitched it back to Mahomes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was crazy. Didn't they scored with that? No, it was incomplete.
Yeah, I still think the Chiefs were way overrated.
No, I so do I. I think the Giants, I mean, they have like a lot of the Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, when he comes back, they're gonna have him at tight end. And with Saquon, right now, they don't even look. He's been out. He was out last game. They had Emmanuel Carter. Oh my gosh, don't quote me on that. But they had Emmanuel Booker in. and he had 68 yards, I believe. He had a decent little game. He almost covered. He's part of my parlay. My over. Well, fun fact there, but yeah, I mean they had a lot of good showing. Receiving Sterling Shepard, they have potential though. Maybe in the next couple of years they can build through the draft and really get somebody crazy. So, you know, the sky's the limit for them.
So that wraps up all of our game recaps from week 8. So now we're going to go into our Thursday night football prediction. We got Mike White starting in the Jets, playing away in Indianapolis against Carson Wentz and the Colts. Oh, after Mike White's performance over the Bengals, I really wanted to do good because I really don't want it to be just against the Bengals. Carson Wentz is coming off an overtime loss at home, but I really think the Jets will be able to use the momentum they have from the game against the Bengals to Thursday and beat the Colts on the road.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because I like Mike White. I think he's really pretty legit and turned those receivers into like weapons overnight. It was really I'd like to apologize because I thought the Bengals like just lost some bum. You know, I thought they did some Bengals shit, but I forgot the Bengals are really good. And I think Mike White was just a little bit better. And no offense, but it was a crazy game. Just a lot of crazy shit was going on. And Mike White took advantage of it. He showed that he can bang with these elite players that the Bengals do have in their defense. So the Colts, they're solid as well. But they're middle of the ground kind of team. I think the Jets could take advantage of, like you said, the momentum and build upon what they were doing last game. Hopefully they have some good practice, do the same shit. And they can work just like they just did in the game and really build that chemistry. And they're only going to go up from here. Same with them.
So you're going with the Jets?
Yeah. Jets. They covered my spread. Wait, fuck, no, they didn't.
They did. But anyways, the next thing we got is our budget bets. So I don't know about you, Justin, but last Thursday I was successful on my budget bet for Thursday. I had a two-way parlay, AJ Green over 40 receiving yards, Aaron Jones touchdown, was plus 205. I won that one. Do you remember yours?
Yeah, I had Najee Harris. I was going to place the over on him. It was at 60 yards, but I ended up funking out the last minute. So, but I think he did. He got 96. He 98? Yeah, he had 96, 98 around there. He really showed out. I wish I would have took the over, but alas, you know.
So for this Thursday's budget bets, I'm actually going to do a three-way parlay this time. I'm going to take the Carson Wentz over 250 passing yards and Jonathan Taylor over 14.5 receiving yards and then an over of 46.5. That brings the odds to plus 310. So if I put $3.84 on it, because you know we're budget bets, and that would hopefully win $15.74.
I like that. That's a great payoff for. I think those are all pretty logical things. You know, Jonathan Taylor's really balling. I don't think that'll really be an issue. So, the Jets, their defense is still iffy. So they could really get a good good showing out of them.
All right, so that's going to be it for this section of the show. We're actually going to release a second episode this week coming out on Saturday talking about our predictions for all the Sunday and Monday game. And then so if you want to find out our budget bets for then, we'll talk about it. We're not going to talk about it in the podcast, but I'm going to post mine on Twitter. So thank you guys for watching. Be sure to share this with your family and friends because we sure could use the views. And thank you for watching or listening. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, folks. Everybody have a blessed day, weekend, whenever you hear it. And we're watching football on Sunday. I get off at 6. I can find to watch the games. It's going to be great. I'm hyped for it.